The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good evening. Welcome to St. Timothy on this Holy Thursday, Maundy Thursday, if you remember the last week of Jesus' life. And as I said on Sunday, just try to see this whole week as just one service through Christ's final days, because it is the Christ event that kind of informs our whole life, influences who we are, and our faith, the object of our faith. So today is the night we remember he was betrayed. He cleans the disciples' feet, offers the supper, and the gift that we have received has been passed down to us. So it's a special night as we remember it. I don't think I need to tell you anything beforehand, but we'll just begin our service with our opening reading from the Gospel of John.
Is from John chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has faith does not need to wash, except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I have said to the Jews, so I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another."
Please stand as we sing.
Thank you.
During this Lent season, we have heard our Lord's call to intensify our struggle against sin, death, and the devil. All that prevents us from trusting in God and loving each other. Since it is our intention to receive the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ on this night, when he instituted this blessed meal for our salvation, it is proper that we complete our Lenten discipline by diligently examining ourselves, as St. Paul urges us to do. This holy sacrament has been instituted for the special comfort of those who tremble because of their sin and who humbly confess their sins, fear God's wrath, and hunger and thirst for righteousness. But
when we examine our hearts and consciences, we find nothing in us but sin and death, from which we are incapable of delivering ourselves. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. For our benefit, he became a man, so that he might fulfill for us the whole will and law of God, and to deliver us, took upon himself our sin and the punishment we deserve.
So that we may more confidently believe this, and be strengthened in the faith and in holy living, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you." It is as if he said, "I became man, and all that I do and suffer is for your good. As a pledge of this, I give you my body to eat." In the same way, also he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Again, it's as if he said, "I have had mercy on you by taking into myself all your iniquities. I give myself into death, shedding my blood to obtain grace and forgiveness of sins, and to comfort and establish the New Testament, which gives forgiveness and everlasting salvation. As a pledge of this, I give you my blood to drink. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup, confidently believing this word and promise of Christ, dwells in Christ, and Christ in him, and has eternal life."
You should also do this in remembrance of him, showing his death, that he was delivered for our offenses and grace for our justification. Giving him our most heartfelt thanks, we take up our cross and follow him, and according to his commandment, love one another as he has loved us. Let our Lord on this night exemplify this love by washing his disciples' feet. So we, by our words and actions, serve one another in love. For we are all one bread and one body, even as we are all partakers of this one bread and drink from the one cup. For just as the one cup is filled with the wine of many grapes, and one bread made from countless grains, so also we, being many, are one body in Christ. Because of him, we love one another, not only in word, but in deed and in truth.
May the Almighty and Merciful God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, accomplish this in us.
Amen.
Having heard the word of God, let us confess our sins, imploring God our Father, for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Please stand as we sing.
Father,
I, your Lord, Jesus, servant, confess confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
God be merciful to you and strengthen your faith.
Amen.
Do you believe that the forgiveness I speak is not my forgiveness, but God's?
Yes.
Let it be done for you as you believe. In the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Go in peace.
Amen.
We sing. Sacrament you have left us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as for the readings. Our first reading will be from Psalm 116, and we read responsibly. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds.
I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst of Jerusalem, praise the Lord.
The Old Testament reading comes from Exodus chapter 24. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the just decrees. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain, and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all of these words. Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven of for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The cup of the blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Jesus? The bread that we break, is it not in participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many in one body, for we all partake of the one bread. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand.
And he sent to him his disciples and said to them, Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, The teacher says, Where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. There, prepare for us. And the disciples set out and went to the city, and found it just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. They began to be sorrowful and to say to him with one after another, Is it I? He said to them, It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for the man if he had not been born. And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, Take, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We sing our hymn, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Please be seated.
My hope is built on nothing less.
In the name of Jesus, amen. So tonight I want to talk to you guys a little bit about my people. They're called millennials. You've probably heard of them, and I'd be surprised if you haven't. We don't get a lot of good press, it seems. But thankfully, Gen Z seems to be taking our prominence, taking over. But I'd probably agree with you that we deserve some criticism. Many among our group are a little entitled, maybe a little egocentric, and sometimes we expect the world to bow to our every wish. We provide an endless list of demands, and that seem to just crop up on just about anything. And we think we deserve an endless supply of participation trophies. We have been called snowflakes for our fragility and the need for safe spaces. We're just the bane of everyone's existence, it seems. And what we think about work probably surprises many of you. Because what we think about work is that we think work should have all these kinds of luxuries. That we should live by jumping from job to job. That we want some unreasonable demands like going into work at 10 a.m. or having Starbucks coffee in the break room with breakfast or something. Or one of the things we like to do is constantly ask for feedback. I know I'm a perpetrator of that. And one of the things is that a lot of people get annoyed with is we think work doesn't need to be at work. Because of the way technology has gone, we would rather work mobily and work it from home. And we think we deserve six figures right off the bat. We also would like more vacation time. 2 weeks out of 52 weeks in the year, we think that the numbers should be bumped up a little bit. A lot of people think we have some unreasonable demands, especially when we consider our predecessors. For them, work was a duty you had to do, you know, something you needed to do to serve everybody else around you. But for us, unlike them, we think that work should offer some personal meaning, something that's fulfilling. To be sure, I'm trying to dramatize a little bit of who millennials are, and I get the feeling many of you probably think this depiction is not too far off, because it is the depiction we're told, that we can be a little off the charts, a little unreasonable. But despite all these things, all these unreasonable requests that me and my peers offer, I think that we may have accidentally stumbled upon a serious problem in our society and church. And I think it's the lack of life integration. Our modern lives have been characterized by compartmentalizing everything to the extreme. We have everything placed in neat boxes that should never touch one another. We don't want certain areas in our life to influencing other important areas that we think matter. Not just in our like work and home life, but our home and church life. Our church and work life, our school and family life, even if you notice, generations don't seem to get along. We try to separate them out. Each of us holds these apart as if they're not supposed to touch or to be together. Sunday morning is for church. That's when I do my good Christian thing and go to church and be a Christian. Monday through Friday, though, 9 to 5 is work. That's when I am my work self, and that can't infringe on anything else. But after 5 is playtime, family time, or private time. It's time for you. Don't let anything else influence this special time. And Saturdays, that's hobby time or friend time. And those times I can get together with my friends and we can talk about our family and work and maybe rant on or complain about it. But the two things you never are supposed to talk about with your friends are religion and politics, because you don't want to ruin a good time. I don't know if many of you like that way of living. I don't, but I don't think it's because I'm a millennial. Millennials keep their private lives probably far too private. But the problem I do see, and I think Paul is getting at in our short text today, is the divisions that this causes, whether spoken or unspoken. Not only divisions between people, like generations or groups, but divisions in ourselves. We continually want to divide and separate who we are into different types of people. Have you ever found yourself, when you go to maybe a work party or a work event, and then you might say to your spouse afterwards that, "I hate those things because I always feel like I'm at work, or I have to be on, I have to be my work self." I think it's because you feel like you need to be somebody else. Or that morning you can't make it to church because you don't feel like church today. You don't feel like your church self. I think what Paul is trying to get at is that what we do, who we are, shows something about us, and it proclaims who we are. And when those boxes that we put in order start to infringe on each other, and we might start seeing that we're going to work for a party during time that's supposed to be free for us, different parts of ourselves are starting to bump heads, and we're divided on it. The short reading in Corinthians doesn't really tell the whole story, but if you go back and read through 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, you'll see he's addressing a very important issue, the Lord's Supper. The gift that Christ gave to his people, the church. And apparently it's because, well, these people in Corinth are pretty well messed up. If you go back and read it, you'll notice they sound like a bunch of different denominations fighting over issues. Fighting over Christian teachings because everyone's talking about their own faith and their own way of explaining it. Talking about themselves and how they serve others, how they love, how they show each other service. And in the middle of all this is the Lord's Supper, because they weren't coming together in like-mindedness, being of one body. They weren't taking it seriously. Worse, they weren't preaching Christ together. For if the body of Christ, the church, was not going to make peace with one another, Paul would say that what they are doing is no longer eating the body and blood of Jesus. They weren't receiving the Lord's Supper, because they were splintered of who they follow and who they listen to. And Paul says directly in the next chapter 11 that this supper no longer was the Lord's Supper, because the people had taken it away from the Lord to eat it and drink it their own way. How can you be the body of Christ if you're not united in the Lord? Paul is essentially saying that the Lord's Supper is not something you decide on, or it's another piece of your life. Paul is saying the Lord's Supper is not about you. But what the Lord's Supper is what God is doing through his Son for you. What Christ speaks and promises is what the Lord's Supper is all about. And in a profound way, Paul will say later, when you partake of this meal, you are saying something about yourself. You are preaching the Lord's death until he comes. And you do that together. If you just turn on your TV or log on to Facebook, or if you've just been listening at all, you know it's not hard to find deep divisions going on around us. And maybe we stand on one side or the other on these issues. But I think you've been finding that it's harder and harder to separate your life into neat boxes. I think COVID's invasion opened our eyes to that reality. Work now encroaches in on family, and activities and sports might increase and creep in on our time in church and school. Everyone has agendas that they want to push on you, and now they're calling and texting you to join in. Other generations make fun of each other for other generations' things. The boxes are breaking down, and we're seeing it. And we're finding that it can't be different types of people anymore. We can't separate who we are into different types of people. But I think this small passage points us to who we truly are as one body and one bread and one Christ. The supper brings together people to be of one mind. And we find it just in the words that Jesus speaks. It's all about what Jesus does and what he brings to you, to bring you into one mind. He gives you his body, he gives you his blood, so that you could be integrated and incorporated into him. And then all those other things start becoming together and bring together harmony. What happens here at the Lord's table? What happens here at the Lord's behest goes from here and into our family's dinner tables. From here to the break room, and from here to how we conduct ourselves in our community, in our nation. Jesus Christ has woven himself and integrated you into his life, in which your purposes are no longer your own, but one in which you serve and love those who are right in front of you. This evening, we remember the story of Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper, where he begins a new covenant, a new testament, a new testimony, a new witness, a new way of proclaiming and confessing who we are. We will remember and experience that in the way that Jesus gives himself for God's creation. Jesus gave his disciples the promise of his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins and a new life. And from here we will go and pray in the garden. And from here he will go and pray in the garden. He will be betrayed, arrested, and beaten. You'll see that as we strip the altar tonight and remove the vessels and the paraments. He does this so he can put to death the divisive areas of life that we go through, to destroy the boxes that we try to separate our lives. And then this Sunday, we'll remember that he rose from the dead so that he could rebuild your life based on his and be influenced in all facets of your life, to give it true meaning and true purpose. And he invites you to come together in that, in love. The same bread and the same cup that Christ offered to his disciples is extended to you tonight. And where Christ says to you, "This is my body, this is my blood, given for you." Be integrated into Jesus Christ's life tonight and throughout your days. Amen. We continue with our confession of faith as spoken in the words of the Apostles' Creed. As you're able, please stand.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who accomplished the salvation of mankind by the tree of the cross, that where death arose, their life also might rise again, and that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise, by the tree of the cross, be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing.
Holy, holy, holy Lord God.
of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us to do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Amen.
We sing.
Thank you.
Now may this body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Continue with a reading toward Good Friday. From the Gospel of Mark, Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he said emphatically, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." They all said the same. And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not wait 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard." And when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. And they laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to them, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." And they all left him and fled.
We read Psalm 22 responsibly. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning?
Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel.
In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued, and you they trusted and were not put to shame.
I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads.
He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet, you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breasts.
On thee was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help.
Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls in Bashan surround me. They open wide your mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion.
I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You made me a dust of death.
For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones, they stare and gloat over me.
They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off, for you, my help, come quickly to my aid.
Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion, who have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen.
I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. And stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel.
For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. For you comes my praise to the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him.
Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May their hearts live forever, and all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you.
For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive.
Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord of the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim.